It is 29-10. Matt Granlund, Cam Mooney with you for the next half hour. Kev Hillier is in after 10 o'clock, taking more of your calls. Quite happy to take a few more, 9429-1116. But Scott Lucas, who's a part of our 1116 SEN footy team, is a player manager, former great of the Essendon Football Club, joins us in the studio. Hi, Scotty.
Boys, it's been a disappointing day. Couple of days for the club, but in particular and more importantly for the players.
How do you feel, being a great of that club, how did you feel when you heard it?
Extremely disappointed. But more in the sense, your immediate thoughts go to the players, the playing group, those that you played with, those that you know through the link of the Essendon Football Club. So it's really about them that you focus on. I think not so much in a secondary manner, but the club is that second consideration.
David Zaharakis, now you're his manager, and he is free to play because he didn't take part in the supplements program in 2012. Clear this up. The thinking is that he didn't take part because he didn't like being injected with needles. Did he have a philosophical difference of opinion with what they were doing, or was it purely because of the needles?
No, I don't think so. I just think the needles.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he would have taken it if it was in, say, powder form, but it just because he just didn't like injections.
That's my understanding. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. What about a manager's role in all this? Obviously, you've got Zaka, so he's playing. I'm not too sure whether any other players affected by it. But what is a manager's role with the players that can't play?
Certainly, initially, it's welfare and support and being there for them. The boys yesterday spent some time together. I think they had yesterday and they've got today off. That was what was put in the calendar so that they could just get their head around it either way. So you're a support mechanism. You're chatting with the player. He'll have questions. Our role also is to chat with the Players Association, know how it looks going forward. I mean, the first consideration, as I mentioned, is certainly welfare. And then the second, and probably the one most obvious to people, is the financial element to it.
Yeah.
And what that means for the players that are on Essendon's list, the players that are at other AFL clubs, what does that mean? The players that are playing VFL next year or were playing community football and were paid a pretty reasonable whack to do that because they all have commitments. And what they can't do as a result of yesterday's decision, and what does that mean?
Some people have SMS today, Scotty, saying, and we heard Dave Colbert saying, they probably shouldn't be paid. They've been found guilty of cheating. They shouldn't be paid. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, it's an interesting one, isn't it? And you can only accept that they've been found guilty. Mm. But they were also, by a panel, found not guilty. And that's the real issue, isn't it? That the final decision is the one, and that was the one that didn't go their way. Should they not be paid? I think they should be. Mm. Yeah, I do. I don't know at this stage what the rules provide for in that. We'll be briefed later in the day on that. But as we know, they'd have a very strong case against the club if it was to be the case that they weren't allowed to be paid.
Are you looking after any of the 12?
No.
But you've got players, you did have players. Yeah, I think Ariel Steinberg might have been one that was part of the group.
Yeah, that's right. Who's no longer at the club.
And so just in terms of this, and we talked about the top-up players before the break, they've got to go find 10 top-up players, and you would have players like, I think, Aaron Sipos might be one of them.
Yeah,
you'd have players that have committed to suburban football clubs, state football clubs, and these are the sort of players that Essendon would be looking at.
Well, we had our players contact us as well as we contact them. I'm sure Essendon have had players contact them direct. They've had other managers contact them about this. Oh, I think in the next day or two, I imagine the club would catch up with the AFL and be briefed on the rules pertaining to...
Are you ringing the club your boys? Yeah. Hey, I've got such.
Yes.
So the general...
We have,
yeah.
And I'm sure other managers done the same. I think they would have, or they do have, a list of players that a rough list... and then they'll work through, I think they'd look at the 12 and the positions they play. Now, you're not going to get like for like because there's a reason that the players available aren't in the AFL system. But it's a discussion around what do we need? Well, where are the gaps in our team? I mean, if Hooker and Hurley, you think immediately of Brian Lake. And I have no idea what Brian Lake is up to. But that would be the natural progression there and the discussion that they'll have to have, both with the AFL on the rulings, what payments are those players paid, and then also players that may be available and the players that they need in consultation with the coaching staff.
Here's one for you, Scotty. If you're looking after a guy who was, let's use James Kelly as an example, who's 32 years of age, now into the workforce and moving on to the next part of his life, would you say to someone at that age, mate, don't? Stay, just look after the next part of your life or go back and do another year?
Well, it depends on what the next stage of their life looks like. If a player was, if James Kelly wasn't sure what he was doing this year and he thought he was having a year off in a sense,
then why not?
Then why not? If he was about to commence a new job that was difficult to obtain or may not be available in 12 months, then you've also got to look at that and say, well, does 12 months at Essendon really help or do anything? And now the third consideration there is, well, what are Essendon going to pay? What is their capacity? Now, if we pull a figure of 300,000, now there's not many players that step away into a job and are earning that. Yep. So from a financial consideration and his commitments he has going forward, for some players the financial aspect might be really what's important to them. So no case will be the similar, but not necessarily is it best for everyone. Yeah. I agree with that.
Here's the interesting thing, though, as Brett Anderson said to us, it'd be very hard for someone like a James Kelly who hasn't done a pre-season anywhere to just step straight into a program. So it's easier for some of these players, like maybe Aaron Sipos, who's been doing fitness pre-season, he could probably step straight in.
Certainly it would favour players that had committed to play VFL or were playing good local-level football who had done a block of training. You couldn't, therefore, if and that would be the first question. Okay, player X is available. What have you done since the end of last year? Nothing. Well, it's almost aligned through him, isn't it? Because the reality is the competition is starting NAB Cup in about 5 weeks. Yeah. Season, 2.5 months away? You're not going to be ready. Therefore, that player that you sign up probably gets injured, has soft tissues all year, so you've really got to consider that also.
What do you think the club, the Essendon Football Club, will now do with the 12 boys? Programs, think they'll just give them all those and send them away and go, right, this is what we want you to do?
I don't think they'd be doing anything for the next.
They can't have any contact with them at all, can they?
Well, I'm not sure of the rules.
You're not allowed to email them a sheet of weights and fitness programs?
Exactly right. That could, you get into trouble if you say that it could appear somewhere, couldn't it? But I would say that the club, out of respect to the players and how they deal with it, would keep a wide berth for a period of time now. I mean, whether they, if you think, if you step ahead a few and take out all the emotion and the disappointment, say, well, how are we best ready to prepare for November to start training again? Well, what they do in the next 6 weeks, I don't think alters that at anything. So if it is that they go away and don't think about football once, then that's probably best for them, because I would have thought their mental state is the most important state for them.
Here's a question for both of you. The competitiveness of Essendon in 2016, to Moons and to Scotty, will they win a game?
We've never seen. Have we ever seen a team go through that's lost every game in our lifetime?
Not in the modern era.
The modern era. I just can't see. I'm going to say they'll win one. I don't know where or how, but I'm going to say they'll win one.
It's a little bit like that, isn't it? You would say that they shouldn't, but GWS won a game in their first year, didn't they? And if you put their team next to Essendon, well, with those players out, Essendon would still have more experience around their team. I can't tell you which one.
You just don't want to be the
and
team.
And you don't
that
think that they'll win a game, but the law of averages says at some stage. But you quote, the question is extremely valid. They're going to battle significantly, and certainly not their consideration at the minute. But for the teams that in and around the eight that have got them twice.
Yeah. There's Geelong and Richmond.
Yeah, there's some advantage there. I heard it mentioned, well, what does this mean for the competition? Well, to me, it means nothing because for 2-3 years, teams had Gold Coast twice and some had them once, and then the same with the Giants. It's just the way it is.
And just Port Adelaide, to both of you again, the impact of not having Paddy Ryder there, Angus Monfries as well, what sort of impact do you think it'll have on Port Adelaide's chances this year, Moons?
It'll be massive because I think Paddy's by far their best number one ruckman. And, you know, it looks like a genius move now from Port, and maybe they had this in the back of their mind that, you know, Lobie wasn't put on the trade table because, you know, I'm not sure how they were going to play Lobie and Ryder in the same team, is my personal view, with Dixon coming in. But now it looks like a great move because now they've got number one ruckman in Lobie. But Paddy Ryder's going to be a huge loss for them. Huge loss, because I think when he's up and going, I rate him as top bracket of the best ruckman in the comp.
I think you're right, Moose. I don't think Lobie played.
I think they really struggled to fit all of those guys. Westhoff, yep. Schultz,
Lobie would have spent 12 months, because there was talk around the Bulldogs late last year. I think he would have spent this year trying to convince them that he could play as the second ruckman, and in the end left at the end of this year.
And so, Angus has been good for him. He's kicked 80 goals in the 3 years he's been there. He's been an important player for Port Adelaide.
Yeah, he has. He has. So certainly Paddy's a huge loss to them.
He's one. I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, I think I heard Lloydy say this last night, Angus Monfries is out of contract at the end of this year. Mm. How tough would that be? As a manager, what are you saying to him? What are you saying to the footy club?
Well, it depends on the mindset of the player going into this year, doesn't it?
Mm.
If in Gussie's case, this year was to be his last, well, that's it. But potentially, it may be that he'd doesn't want to finish off on that note and might like to play on. Yeah, look, it's a really tough situation for all the players, but particularly those getting toward the end of their career. And I know you've spoken about Job as well, but his age, he's in that awkward age, isn't it? And we know the toll that it's taken on him, that, look, you'd love to see him come back.
I think with a year out of football, these guys are going to be so dirty, driven, that they'll want to come back.
Prove a point.
Particularly for guys at the older age, where Job is. Mm. You want to come back and prove a point.
Hey, Scotty, I'll ask you a tough one before we take a break. And your mates with him, and you talked about Job Watson. Mm. Should he keep his Brownlow medal?
Look, I'd love to see him be able to, but once the AFL accept the decision of the Court of Arbitrations for Sport, I don't think he can.
You can't say Ben Johnson was caught doing steroids and kept his gold medal.
That's right. Mm. And whether we agree with the decision, like the decision or not, the AFL were very quick yesterday to say that they accept the decision, they support the decision. Therefore, on that basis, they have to act within the rules that are now determined the effect of the decision.
Asada conducted 30 testing missions at Essendon during the time in question, between February and September 2012. 30 testing missions. Each time, players subjected to tests were asked the standard questions by our doping control officers, which were to declare any substances that they had taken, be it Panadol, ibuprofen, protein powder. But in 30 tests, in 30 approaches, only one player declared a supplement injection and declared that that was for vitamin B. They also hid the injections from their team doctor, who testified that no player had ever asked about any of the substances.
And that was damning for them, the no significant fault or negligence rule, as they decided on the penalties. And that was really one of the big reasons that this blew out to 12 months. Did you know about that, Scotty, that players were told not to, I don't know whether they were told not to
or chose not to,
but they didn't actually, and you would have had drug tests where you've got the sheet and Moons was telling you, you've got to put every single thing on it. I've had a Panadol, I've had this, I've had a protein shake, and they didn't do it. Mm. Did you know about that?
No.
And I think that's the big thing that's come out the last 24 hours. There's been so much column space devoted to this story that we actually didn't know about that. Mm. So, I mean, that was a big thing, Moons, wasn't it? And you were shocked when you heard that.
Well, that was because look, I've been one to sit here and go stick up for the players as far as, you know, we lived in that mentality, Scotty. We lived in that mentality of one in all in type of thing. And you know, if you have people that you trust come to you and say, "This is what we're going to do. This is the program that we're going to go on to," and don't get Essendon players asked questions. They did, but they got to sat down and say, "Right, this is what we've done. This is all above board." And they all went with it. But then after a while, it probably should have got to the point of, not sure what's going on here. Yeah. And then to not write it down.
To not acknowledge
it. To not acknowledge it and write it down. When I saw it this morning, I went, oh, God. Haven't got much.
And in many ways, they signed the consent form in order to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Mm.
But in some ways, that's one element that brought them undone.
But that was in, and you would know, talking to your players, in that meeting, that was said to them, this is our intellectual property. We want to be cutting edge here. We don't want anyone knowing about it. And they were told not to tell anyone, weren't they? Mm. So
by that extension, when the drug test has come, they believe it's above board, rightly or wrongly, and they don't disclose that information.
A couple of calls, Johnny and Mill Park. Hi, Johnny.
G'day, lads. Two quick ones, one for Ollie and one for Scotty. The first one, now, the Essendon players were found not guilty by a panel previously, and based on that finding, the AFL then sanctioned them in relation to the draft for next year. Now that it's been rehashed and revisited and reappealed and so forth, now they've been found guilty, is the AFL going to relook at that again for next year in relation to their draft picks and so forth? That's my first question. And my second one to you, Scotty. Saying Zacharakis might have been a little bit paranoid about needles, mate. How many sort of painkillers and recovery injections and so forth has he had in his life while he's been playing footy?
I can't answer that, but I can only speak of what my career. I never had injections for pain for recovery, and I had one in 15 years for a painkiller to
really?
Play. Yeah, Our doctor wasn't into them, Reedy. Yeah, in terms of that. Which there's a certain level of irony around all of this, isn't there?
Awesome into them,
but
yeah.
No, certainly it was almost, and I can only speak when I played, that if you needed that a painkiller to play, you shouldn't be playing.
Did you have many moons, painkillers to get out there?
Yeah, absolutely.
During
games as well.
Yeah, during games, that's what I was going to say. You see players a lot, we call games, and they disappear down the rooms. Yeah. Oh, they're getting an injection to get back out there.
And I know teammates that did have to have them, but I don't know whether I was fortunate or...
Thanks, Johnny. Jones in Hawthorne. Hi, Joan.
I'd like to nominate a young man who's running around in the ruck, will be running around in the ruck, he did last year for Coburg.
Who's that, Joan?
Tom Goodwin, son of Andrew Goodwin.
You like him, Joan?
Yes, I do.
Okay, he could be one. There's so many players that they would be casting a net over at the moment, Scotty. Yeah. And as you said, they probably, there was a scenario where they would have had to look for players anyway. So they would have had a good look. It's not just this has just hit them and they had no idea who to go for. They would have had a list already, you would have thought, written up.
Yeah. If they, and I'm not sure how aware the club were of where it was going and the amount of time they put into it. But, yeah, look, they would all have their lists from past drafts that they didn't go with, players they really rate. So it wouldn't take a lot of work to come up with the names.
I think the biggest thing is going to be, Scotty, for them, and we spoke about this last year when they went and got top-up players, you need players with experience.
Yeah,
AFL experience. You can't just go and get somebody from the bush, somebody from local leagues who haven't played AFL. I'm telling you, it would be a disaster.
Yeah.
Even more than it probably is going to be already.
Well, because of the youthful nature of the team now, they need some experience around them, some guidance, and some bigger bodies just to be able to take some of those hits.
One question off the SMS, can these players work in the media during the year and have AFL media accreditation? The answer is yes, they can. And that would be interesting whether someone like a Job Watson, who is very articulate, might spend a year in the media, Scotty. And I want to listen to what Job Watson, who is playing the game at the moment, would want to say. So that would be interesting to hear a few of these players working in the media.
No doubt. Absolutely. I sense that most will want to get as far away from it as possible.
Yeah.
But I agree, the insights would be invaluable.